Let's see. There we go. Can I remove this cupcake? Yes, I can. See if I can do this. Ah, there we go. So we have the cupcake. We have the candle. Happy anniversary. Did you know that? It has been 1 year since we started together. One whole year. Can you believe it? Judy can't. Time has flown. I mean, wow. I wouldn't have believed it if you had told me. I'm going to blow this out before I forget it's there. Time has really flown. I can't believe it's been a year. I've been finding myself reflecting a lot lately on the past year. There's been a lot going on. And I'm not going to repeat the full list for you today. If you really want it, you can read the newsletter. You can read the March Beam. We talk a little bit about things in there. You could go to the website, which has the beam on it. The annual report will actually be coming out soon because I finally wrote my report for Judy. I think I was waiting, without realizing it, I was waiting until it had been a year before I felt right writing it. I think is part of what was going on. It felt weird to write an annual report beforehand. But anyway, from all of that stuff, you will you'll get the idea of some of the things that have happened. It's been, I'm just speechless, actually. There's just been so much going on. It's been wonderful. You know, we have spent so much time this past year doing things together. And I've found myself thinking about, you know, where have we been and where are we and where are we going? Have you ever seen the TV show MASH? You remember that show? Ba-ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba. No one else wants to sing the song? You all know it. It's in your heads now. Thanks, Karen. I appreciate that. That was the most rock and organ version of the MASH theme song ever. I love that show. And one of the things I remember about that show was how much time they would spend in triage. They would use that word all the time. And I got to be honest with you, there have been times this past year where it has felt like some of what we have been doing is triage, where we have been taking a moment to really assess the needs and prioritize them and then tackle them, deal with things, deal with the most pressing matters concerning the church. But I think the time for triage is coming to an end. I think now going forward into this next year and beyond, what we're going to find is that we need a more strategic approach, a more strategic plan, you could say, for what are our focal points going to be for ministry? What are the things that we're really going to focus on going forward? We're not going to all agree on what those things should be, and that's okay. That is part of life. That is part of community. But we do need to do that. We do need just, based on the fact that we can't do everything, we have to take a moment to say, what are the most important things for us to focus on going forward? And let's take a stab at them. We need to take some time to try and to fail and to learn and to try again. To focus on doing a few key things really, 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 really well. My prayer for us as a community is that we don't get ourselves caught up on trying to figure out what should Bethel's next program be? What should the next miracle program be that will bring life or people or whatever into the church? My prayer instead is that we focus on the attitudes and the reasons that guide what we do. What are those foundations? What are the foundations under our choices? You follow me? The difference there? Ultimately, we will have to make decisions about what we're going to do, but I want us to be thinking deliberately about why are we doing it this way? And I think a really good example of one of those foundations is found in the story today, in the story of the prodigal son. Which, and I don't know if you've heard this before, but I would argue to you that the prodigal son might better be called the prodigal father. Do you know what the word prodigal means? It's right up there, the sermon title. A prosperous, prodigious, prodigal prodigy. Say that 5 times fast. Prodigal has nothing to do with leaving and coming back. It has nothing to do with that. Every time in our lives we have ever said to someone as they enter a room, oh, the prodigal son returns. I mean, we're being funny, but it's not accurate. The word prodigal means wasteful. Wastefully extravagant. That's what the word means. The prodigal son is not the prodigal son because he left and then came back to his father. He is the prodigal son because he took that inheritance and squandered it. He wasted it. He was wastefully extravagant. But to take it one step further, that title is nowhere in the parable. Did you notice that? That word doesn't actually show up. In nowhere does Jesus say, let me tell you the story of the prodigal son. We've just given it that name. And so every time we read that story, we focus on that son because we figure, well, it's called the prodigal son. He's the main character. What does he do? We talked about this last week on Wednesday at the midday meditation group. I don't think the story is really about the son. I think it's about the father. Did you notice what that man did? Especially in the culture of his time, he had no reason to do what he does. His father, his son comes to him and says, give me my part of the inheritance. He would have been fully within his rights to say, what? Go away. Come back to me later, kid, when you know what you're talking about. But he doesn't, does he? He gives it to him. And his son is off living extravagantly, being prodigal, does these things. And when he comes back, what does the man do? Well, he could, by all rights, when he sees his son off in the distance, say, ah, kids come back. Lock the doors. He could turn his back on him. He totally could. What does he do? He drops everything and runs to his son. A man of his stature does not run to anyone. But he does. And what happens when his oldest son mouths off to him, talks back to him, says, how can you do this for this brat, this child of yours? He doesn't even say my brother. This son of yours who did these things and comes back. He could, by all rights, say to the eldest son, you are out of line. Back to your chores. Or something more paternal. But he doesn't. He responds to his eldest with love. And he doesn't have to. If anyone is prodigal in this story, I think it is that father with his love for his sons. Extravagantly loving. Loving beyond all reason, loving beyond all measure, loving beyond what society has told him he should do. His youngest son is a punk. Come on, you'd be upset. I'd be upset. I've got two sons. That would be so annoying. My father has two sons. I'm sure I've been that to him at times. But he responds with love. All he responded with was love. The prodigal father is radically and absolutely loving, radically and absolutely welcoming. And similarly, our call as a community of faith is to love and to welcome for God's sake. Not in hope that if we love someone when they come through the door, they will become a regular, money-giving, worship-attending, regular person, very active and involved in the congregation. Don't get me wrong, it's great when people do that. I mean, don't misunderstand me. I love it when people become involved in the community. It makes me very happy. But we don't welcome and love people with the explicit purpose that is what will happen. We welcome and love others because God welcomes and loves us. Period. There are no strings, no ulterior motives, no preconditions, no expectations. We'll welcome and love you into this community so long as you are contributing in a way that we feel good about. That's not what we do. We will welcome and love you into this community because what else would you do? I wasn't going to mention this, but I will because it reminded me of this. I've had some conversations before with my in-laws, my mother-in-law, where she has been a little surprised at just how much my family has just wrapped their arms around Sarah's family. And we get along great. You know, we get together for things. It's wonderful. And I remember Mary once saying to me something like, I love how your family is, you know, is just so welcoming of us. And I said, well, what else would we do? Your family. Well, yeah, I mean, we're your family. No, your family is, who cares how the connection was made? Your family now. We love you, period. There's no other condition to it. That's what we do. That is what we do as people of God. Sermon title today. What is it? A prodigious, prosperous, prodigious, prodigal prodigy. Chose that for two reasons. One, I like alliteration. I think it's funny when words have the same beginning letters. It makes me laugh. But I also chose that because I think in those words we see a vision of part of our future as part of God's work in the world. As a community of faith, we will be prosperous. We will be thriving and healthy. We will be prodigious, which means really big size, but also means unnatural or abnormal. We will be abnormally loving, like God's love in this world. We will be prodigal. We will be extravagant in sharing that love. We will be a prodigy, which doesn't just mean someone who's really good at something. It also means to be an impressive example of a particular quality. We are and will be an impressive example of God's love. We need to show the people around us, our friends and our neighbors, people who have never heard of Bethel Lutheran Church, people who have never walked through these doors before, that Bethel is those things. A thriving, abnormal, extravagant, outstanding example of God's love for creation. A place to be welcomed and challenged and inspired. A place where people willingly strive to be part of a solution to the problem that is this broken world we live in. The selfishness of humanity. You know what this is? Can you tell from back there? This is an old Zippo lighter. I've always wanted one of these. I don't smoke. I never have. I just think they're cool. I remember wanting one when I was in middle school, and there was no way I was going to ask my parents for a Zippo lighter. That was not going to happen. Mom, Dad, can I have a lighter? Why? Well, he wouldn't have said it that way, but still. I found this. This one's actually really cool. It's copper. Most of them, I think, are steel. This one is copper. So it's very beautiful when it's shiny and stuff. but it's more delicate. It's softer. I found it at the North Helpline. I was there visiting with Lindley last summer, and we were getting a tour, and we were walking around, and there was this box of donated food and stuff. And if you haven't noticed, I like to wander. Sometimes I do it with my words. I was wandering around the room, and I was intrigued by this box, so I just kind of glanced in. And there was all this donated stuff, and then sitting in the box was this beat-up Zippo lighter. And I thought to myself, well, that's an odd donation. And so I commented on it to the director, and he said, oh, yeah, sometimes people just, you know, they throw stuff in or stuff falls in or whatever. And so he's like, eh, we'll just, you know, we'll toss it out, no big deal. Like, oh. And the 14-year-old in me was like, I've always wanted a Zippo, and you're going to throw it out? So I said, well, if you're not going to use it for anything, you mind if I keep it? He said, yeah, sure, go ahead. I'm like, oh, great. I took it, brought it home. Didn't work at first, you know. But I refilled it with fuel. And you can replace the flint in it so that it sparks, and the wick so there's something to light. It still could use some polishing, I'll be honest. I haven't done that yet. It's kind of scratched and banged up. And it's always going to have some of those marks because, I mean, realistically, that's part of it now. But it still has a use. It still has a purpose. It still works. That's us in many ways. We might be a little bit banged up and scratched in places. Parts of the building might need some polishing or cleaning up. We might need whatever the equivalent of a wick or flint would be. Some more fuel at times. But we are totally and completely capable of glowing with the light of Christ. And that is exactly what we are going to continue to do. Happy anniversary. Let us pray. Holy, good, and gracious God, we give you thanks for the ministry of this community, for the ways in which it has been a faithful witness to your love over the years. We ask you to continue to bless us and inspire us, to help us to know the ways in which we are being called and led by you. We ask you to help us to be shining examples of your love in this world, capable of the radical, prodigal love of a father for a son. We give you thanks on this day and always for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And we lift these praises in your name. Amen.